Do you want one for your left, Virginia?
Yes.
Thank you all for coming today. Appreciate it. Dave's going to turn on there.
We're good.
We're good. And we have the comptroller here, Elliot, and his deputy. And they're going to discuss their budget real fast.
Very fast.
And if we have any questions to add or comments, feel free.
Okay, so thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we just handed out just a quick overview of the past year, a snapshot of it, the number of audits that we did, a quick explanation of what they are, and just to call your attention to the back page, the claims auditing statistics, which shows you what the claims auditing team has done as far as looking at 23,000 invoices, approving $140 million worth of payment to date, the first year to date, and reviewing 703 contracts and moving them along to the tune of $81 million. So that just gives you what's happening now. I know that all the legislature should have received a copy of this electronically. This goes back probably April of this year. I did bring a couple of other copies with us. This is our annual audit report and our risk assessment for the county. Yeah, absolutely. And if you don't have it, it's online, but we do have some hard copies in our office.
Is that annual report issued in April? Is that for the previous year?
Yes, and then forecasts the current year. So it looks at an audit plan going forward in 2018.
Have you met your goals?
We had a staff change in July, which I would say didn't slow us down. It made us sort of stutter step a little. So we're rushing to the finish line, and should be on target. So when I looked at the budget this year, we basically submitted a budget that was pretty reflective of past years. The one thing that we did put in that we didn't get was our confidential secretary, and that really remains one of our outstanding issues, is that we currently, unlike every other elected official in the county and a number of other department heads, we do not enjoy the ability to have a confidential secretary. Currently, the county executive's budget reflects an administrative assistant. There's quite a disconnect between the two, and we just feel that it would be incumbent upon the legislature to assist us in restoring that confidential secretary's position.
All right. I see that the executive recommended a budget of almost $900,000. Is that correct? And you requested 620, is that correct?
No, the difference is that when we submit our budget, we do not have the details of Social Security, disability, all the other insurances. So that's really the $300,000 delta that you'll see. That's bottom of the budget sheet, so to speak.
And it's still $100,000 over last year's amended budget?
I
got 796 for last year.
No, we, well, 796
was the adopted 18 budget.
Well, that's going to include the 37,000 tentatively for the administrative assistant, as well as the benefits tied to that, because that is new.
Okay. Any questions, Ms. Archer?
Thank you. What's the difference in salary between a confidential secretary and admin assistant?
If we looked at the entry level of a confidential secretary, it would be approximately $11,000 difference. So the average confidential secretary in the county ranges anywhere from $53,000 to $65,000.
And what's budgeted for an administrative assistant?
$44,000 and change.
$42,642.
anything further from the members? You guys like to add anything, and then we could move on to the next. Yeah, go ahead, Lynn.
I'm sorry. Thank you. You had professional services, which had not been budgeted previously, and I don't know if you spent any this year for the professional services. Could you kind of shed some light into what this $5,000 is for? And was any of that money used this year?
Yes, the money was. Some of the money so far was used this year. The $5,000 was reflected in the 2018 budget as well. And again, it's really in anticipation of, and it's part of our charter charge of hiring any experts or outside experts that we may need in the audit area.
So you've spent that money this year?
Not all of it to date. I'll get you the number exactly.
And could you share for what type of expertise was used in what audit or
I'll give you a current example. We needed to go outside to get some assistance with a Medicare audit and a foster care audit. We have yet to enter into an agreement, but it appears that we probably will with an outside firm who has some expertise in it.
Before the year is out?
Yes. We're in the process of the audits. We're in the beginning of the stages of both audits right now.
Thank you.
Sure.
Dave, the comptroller made his presentation, a brief overview of his budget. We asked a few questions. Unless you have any, we're going to wrap up this phase.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I ended up parked on the street, came over here. I had no money to put in the... I put two quarters in. It didn't give me any credit.
Who's in charge
of it? Then I came up here to get some quarters, and I said, well, now what, I'm going to go around. I had to drive around all around the block because of the traffic. I got here about 5 minutes to two, and then I ended up still being 15 minutes late.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't here for your presentation, Elliot. Is there anything that he was requesting that's not in error?
The only thing that I had asked for, Dave, originally in our budget was the restoration of the confidential secretary's position. And that really was the difference in what we had requested, that one item issue, as to what we got.
And what did you get instead of that?
They were slotted in an administrative assistant position.
And the difference?
About $11,000.
I mean, difference in duties.
Huge, vast. The admin assistant is really crafted by CSEA as to the limit of what he or she can do. The confidential secretary really plays an integral role with each area of the office. In other words, it's not my confidential secretary, it's the office's confidential secretary. So it may be working either with deputy controller on a variety of issues or the director of internal audit and control. We're looking in the confidential secretary, we're looking for somebody who has some real strength in research skills. And we'd be looking for somebody who has some real strength in writing skills.
Good. Hector?
Thank you. Through the chair because I heard some, I guess, dissension on that. Through the chair to the deputy county executives, you guys have a couple quarters to do a response, but the difference between an administrative assistant and the executive assistant, dollar-wise, is how much?
What we were saying is Lynn was asking if it was 32, or pointing out that the number is higher than that, so 42,000.
But it's 37.
Here it says 37. There's going to be a technical amendment. It's going to be 42. But there is, Elliot's probably right. It's about 11,000 between.
Okay, so that part is okay. So what was inaccurate is what's here on the page.
When the budget director initially submitted released the budget, there was an error, and that's being corrected between the administrative assistant position.
And do you have 8 people or 7 people? I'm a little confused. I have 2 sets of jobs on the page. Am I reading it wrong?
In the book, it's 8, so I don't know why.
Okay, I'm just looking at what they handed us.
That's the 2018 adopted on the backside.
Yes.
The 2019 proposed is the front.
Oh, now
so
I see
the 2018,
it. Thank
they had set
you.
On the 2019.
Got it. Got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Just so you had mentioned there had been a little bit of staff changeover. Are you guys currently in full capacity?
Yes.
Now you're
yes.
fully.
Thank you. And we did send out a memo on it. I don't know if the legislature received it. We've hired a director of internal audit control, Chris DeMeo, who formerly was with Westchester County Finance Department, as well as being the controller of a relatively large municipality in Connecticut. So he came on board with us 3 weeks ago. So he's ramping up right now as we speak.
Thank you. Anything else? Thank your office for coming in today. Appreciate
thank you.
It.
Thank you. Appreciate
thank you.
Next on the agenda, human rights. We're going to skip down to. And Kent. Ken, feel free to start when you're.
It's my privilege to talk about probably the smallest partner we have in Ulster County government, the Human Rights Commission.
That's mad. No, I think we're the.
Their budget last year was approximately $20,000.
Oh, okay.
Their total budget this year is $42,000. It's simple. There are no dedicated staff at the department. The director of the Youth Bureau does double duty as the Commissioner of Human Rights. As you know, that we recently enacted a new, stronger local human rights law, so this budget reflects our attempt to properly deal with that new law and implement it properly.
Where are we? I'm sorry. 172
Again, it's a just over $42,000 budget. Approximately $17,000 of that is allocation of salary. So a portion of the Youth Bureau Director's total compensation comes from an allocation to this department. And essentially, we've added about $20,000 to implement the new law. If you read through the law, there's some legal requirements. The Human Rights Commission has to have access to a dispute resolution agency. They also have to have a hearing officer. The law specifies a procedure where the county executives working with retired judges will identify candidates, will be confirmed by the legislature. We expect that compensation will be a professional services contract with a lawyer or a law firm. And, using our experience with having hearing officers and other agencies and counties, that's how we developed our guest of the resources that will be available. Plus, working with the Human Rights Commission, they're obviously going to want to do some additional outreach and educational materials. And we think we have enough resources built into this budget to take care of those needs as well.
Thank you. Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, one of the things that, and thank you, Ken, this is all very, very good. So I guess, my understanding was the Dispute Resolution Center was willing to, for free, sort of help us with certain portions of this. And then I guess, so the $20,000 is really being geared towards whoever steps into the administrative hearing officer role.
I wanted to err on the side of
Border
I'm not disputing the number, I'm just making sure I just
While they may have access to those services for free, can't guarantee it. I wanted to make sure I had some allocations set aside that we didn't use contract with a firm. And then, quite frankly, the Human Rights Commission has these grand ideas for outreach. They want to do 20 seminars in all 20 towns. And I wanted to make sure we had enough capacity built into the budget to help them satisfy that mission. I don't know that we're going to spend the additional $20,000. My gut is we'll spend probably just over half of that based upon experiences I have from other departments like the hearing officer or process. But I wanted to make sure that we can.
Sure, no, and I classify it as a good plan to go and have all that outreach. But I guess so just understanding that this money is basically really kind of sort of geared towards somewhat in case of emergency with regards to whether the Dispute Resolution Center can actually go and accomplish what they're offering, right?
So to kind of give you a little history on it. So again, this agency, for the most part, has had an allocation. A part of the compensation of the director is allocated. That was the primary function of the budget up until, you know, this year, right? So last year, we through based upon the conversations with the Human Rights Commission, they wanted some funds to help sponsor an educational seminar they try to do annually. So we built some funds in last year. The commission didn't use the funds that we provided last year, about $4,000, right? So again, this year, there's some new members of the board. That combines some travel the director does.
A lot of close races this year.
It's kind of goals that we want. But, you know, we put some additional funds in to help sponsor the event that they want to do. They ended up not doing that event in 2018. I did want to take those funding away. So I put that funding in. And again, there's in addition to that, there's $20,000 of additional funds that could be used for, again, to compensate a dispute resolution agency if we're not able to receive those services free, to compensate a hearing officer if we have not yet identified. We'll have to negotiate an hourly rate in the contract to get that done. I think we have enough resources to do that. And then, again, whatever's left over will be available to the board for, again, they're going to want to do collateral and brochures, and they want to have these sessions. So it is good fun.
So one last question. So where are we at, in terms of timeline and implementation?
We have been having sessions between the director of the law department. I've been facilitating those meetings where we've been putting basic things in place, like here are the forms we're going to use, here's the process and procedures, getting consensus with the Human Rights Commission members if it's something we have to see, and that's ongoing right now. Again, we're kind of shooting for the first of the year to have everything up and running. We are identifying some technical changes that might need to be made to the law that we'll be bringing forward and talking about, when we have it all put together. But for the most part, we're still in that process, but we're shooting for the first of the year to, here's how the law works, here's the process and procedures, here's the form, here's who you call, here's the form that you use to file a formal complaint, and then build that system that we never had before. That's what we're looking at right now.
Lynn?
So this is probably a part-time, non-benefited position, hearing officer?
That will likely be a contractual service. For example, we use hearing officers at the Department of Health, and that's done through contract. So basically contract to an attorney through their law firm, and it's usually an hourly rate with certain expenses built into it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else for Mr. Purnell?
Thanks, everybody. Have a good day.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming, Ken.
Thank you.
Next up will be Director Ryder and Director Dave Gasparis. Did I pronounce that right?
That was good, yeah.
Close, huh?
I thought I was the smallest department. Apparently, I'm the second smallest department. Our budget really has not changed probably over the last 20 years. We basically, most of it is salary, and we have expenses for gas, purchasing of stickers every year. We raised a little bit this year because the price of the stickers for the gas pumps, the inspection stickers, have gone up a little bit. Other than that, it basically stays the same. For anybody who really doesn't know what we do, is we're in charge of inspecting all weighing and measuring equipment in Ulster County. That includes all scales at delis, supermarkets, every gas pump, every oil truck. Plus, we're in charge of the local law dealing with scanner accuracy, making sure that the stores keep their prices correct. It all gets done. We're a two-person department, but we seem to get it done.
Anything for the director, Hector?
Go ahead. Thank you, Mr. Chair. By the way, lovely to see you. I haven't seen you.
Yeah, yeah, long time.
I haven't actually seen you in like 8 years. So I was going to say, glad to know you're alive. But there are some proposals, though, sort of coming down the pipe that may begin to involve your department, including but not limited to things like plastic bags. I mean, we have other things that are very, very much in flux or indeterminate, whether it's certain licensings or certain other things in between. So, while you're a two-person department, there may be other things coming down the pipe.
Okay, I understood.
That has been sort of shared with you, and that the committee probably needs to be aware. The most obvious thing, I think, is plastic bags.
Correct.
So.
And then
I'm relying on them to go
okay.
to
okay.
where that goes.
The
but yeah,
executive okay. determines that.
Yes, I don't think it would be weights and measures.
Okay.
No, no, but I'm just saying, but this has been just talk in general, just assigning this department additional things, including plastic bags, which I knew outright, and I'm just saying the other stuff is indeterminate.
Right. Well, just to clarify, the law specifies that the county executive's office determines which department oversees that.
Mark, I'm not getting here to go into,
okay,
into the
specifics
of your statutory authority, but you know, considering that we all vote under the law, yeah, I know. I'm just saying, though, we should all be aware that this has been identified as a potential area.
Okay. And I will do, I'm a team player, I'll do whatever, but if my state, the weights and measures, they always say it comes first. Like I said, I don't want to deal with, I'm a team player, I'll do whatever I want to, but everything from the weights and measures department, from Albany standpoint, is supposed to come first over that. Like I said, I'll do whatever you guys want me to do.
I love it when you say that.
Well, no, that too, yeah.
So I'm now confused.
Go ahead, Heidi.
Have we determined that to be?
We have not determined that. I'm saying this per Mark's comment, yes, it is for the Office of the County Executive to go
and
determine.
This would be identified by...
It would be 2020.
Okay, that's why we're not seeing it here.
That's why you're not seeing it here, is that portion of enforcement, which would be weights and measures. Education would not come out of them.
That wouldn't.
No, that's the Department of the Environment, which is a different budget amendment that has to come down the pike. I'm just saying we shall be aware going forward. This is also...
It's a possibility.
And that weights and measures, I'm saying... Not to go contradict, I'm saying that going forward there may be additional things popping coming down the pike in your department, which we do, and that we're going to have to go and sort of work.
Which doesn't have anything to do with the budget.
It does, though, because it's saying that. Remember, the law takes effect in July, but it's not enforced until 2020. So that's all.
There are other laws as well that are floating around the pipe that would possibly affect that. I think. The director is aware of if they were to pass. What affects his
department. Anybody else want to confuse this situation before I call the next department?
I think we're pretty good, actually.
Thank you.
I'm not confused at all.
Thank you. Let's move on to Deputy Executive Ryder again with the insurance and give us a brief synopsis.
Okay.
Thank you.
So for those of you who don't know, we do all phases of insurance for the county, except for unemployment and health insurance. So we do all phases of insurance for the county, other than unemployment high and health insurance. So the biggest piece of what we do, we actually have a department that's got no people in it as well, at the disability division. We run it out of our department. There is no salary there. We just do it. We combine it. The next biggest piece is the 1910 section of the budget, which is our general liability. It's our auto, property. These are settlements. These are EEOC claims. These are things that the county goes into lawsuits with, and when people sue us or even plowing accidents or any type of damage that occurs as a result of county. It could be a UCAT bus accident. It could be the horrible claim that we had at the beginning of the year where the woman was killed on 28, which combined all phases pretty much of what we do in our office. It was a workers' comp. It was general liability. And, it was really quite the claim. And so the biggest piece of it is the comp program. I guess that's probably what you want to know more about, maybe.
Tell us.
So we cover all the towns, the villages, the city of Kingston, the college, and six school districts, as well as most of the volunteer fire companies for workers' comp, on-the-job injury. We have three types of expenses, and that's all based on New York State Workers' Comp Board law. There's medical expenses to pay for the injured workers' medical bills, which is huge, and that's going very, very big every year. And then there's the indemnity piece. It's benefits. So when somebody's losing time from work, we have to budget that in there. It also, that particular line, it's the 1351 division of 1720. That particular line also goes toward schedule loss of use awards. So if somebody has a knee that they can't use more than 50% of, it equates to a certain number of weeks times whatever their comp rate is, and they get a lump sum. We use it to settle claims out, to close them forever. We make settlements sometimes to pay a large amount just so that we don't have to see that claim or any of that guy's claims again or whatever. So it's a big line. You can, it's millions. And We have some sort of relief, a little bit left from New York State for special funds, but that's been going away year by year because they took that away from us in 15. I'm trying to think what else I can tell you about it.
Okay, the workman's comp, we cover the towns? And
all the towns. The
do
villages.
They kick in or?
Yes, we bill them yearly. There's a premium. It's based on the last 3 years of their loss experience. Half is on that and half is on their tax valuation.
Where's that on the revenue?
It's under assessments. 2222 is the number. Let me find it for you.
That could be on me.
70. Well, I'm on 70, so I'd say, but it sounds like there's some other.
Yeah.
Page 203. 203 is the bulk. That's
yeah,
the
that's
benefits
the
and award, awards.
All right. So
when she said 1720.
Yeah, you guys don't have
that. Want to see my budget book?
Oh,
we don't have
that.
All right.
I didn't bring
it. Here. No, I got it. Here.
So
70.
Here we go.
And then
I can go shoot it to you.
The account number is they changed. It's the 3200 is intergovernmental charges. I don't know if it's on page 203 toward the bottom.
3200. Yeah.
Yeah. It used to be 2200. So that's where we collect the premiums. The one that's the interfund revenue, the line number 3290 is the county's portion of the plan. So, and historically, the county usually comes in about a third of what the whole thing has been worth. It's just the way it's always seemed.
Okay.
And I know that other counties, it's usually the same way, because I've asked. There are other form of expense, which is in the 1710 on page 201. These are non-claims related administrator, so that's the salaries. That's our insurance that we buy to protect the county. Recently, we added cyber liability coverage to our package, which was something that we really needed to do for a while, and we've got that done. We've got drone coverage. There's all kinds of new things coming up, so we always are looking to see where the risks are to figure out what to purchase. You know, then the 1333 division, where's that? That's on page 202, running into 203. These are, I think, wait a minute, I think I might have printed out the wrong one. I have my own budget worksheet that I'm more used to seeing.
That's okay. I think Legislator Hepner had a question for you.
Yeah, if you could just go back, just because I kind of missed it, the formula for the towns again, for their cost.
Yeah, so for the whole entire plan is based this way. It's half of it's based on 3 years loss experience. So whatever we paid out in medical and wage loss, we don't include overhead. And that kind of, but we don't include any of the administrative expenses, our private eyes. Our IME doctors, we don't include any of that as part of that figure. So half of it's that, and the other half is tax valuation for that particular. We get a ratio of what they're worth to the whole plan as a whole. So each town is like X piece of the pie, and then that percentage gets allocated against whatever I figure that we need in the budget to bill.
Can a town opt out?
Yes.
Now, has there been anyone that's been opted out recently?
No,
I mean, I know that for a while, quite a while ago, there was, you know, there was a problem with it and a bunch of people were looking at
it. Yeah, yeah. A town has never opted out. Olive looked into it last year. Ulster looked into it the year before. And we have had volunteer fire companies
fire
opt districts
out. Have
yeah.
Out.
They actually, I forget what year it was. It was a long time ago, though, now.
Yeah, I remember.
Remember
that?
Remember that whole fiasco?
Yeah,
it
there was a number of them that opted out.
And they sued us because we were billing them for what their open liabilities were on the claims that were still left behind. And then we were in litigation, I think, for 2 or 3 years over this. And we ended up winning, and we got our settlements from them. So it took a while, but we did it. I'm just thinking about that. We did have Plattekill Fire opt out a while back, but they've come back, so they couldn't really do it cheaper outside. So when a fire company, you know, they go to look, and as well they should always check, you know.
Of course.
The first year, they're probably going to get a break, you know, but as soon as they start getting claims, it's going to go skyrocketing on the private sectors.
Heidi, you had a question, or it was answered? Lynn?
No, thank you.
Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're going to move to our insurance department, and again, that's...
Oh, that was...
That was you. How about the county attorney? Same thing. And we have Attorney Longtoe.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the county attorney's office, we provide a range of services across all the departments in the county, legal advice, all the contracts that the controller spoke of earlier about reviewing, the seven, I think he said 703, those contracts originate, are drafted, reviewed, and produced by my department, or the controller be able to quote the dollar value of those contracts better than I, but they all come out of our, of my department. The biggest change with the county attorney's office this year was state limit, and that was raised age. New York State has now changed the age of criminal responsibility. 16 and 17 year olds who used to be under the purview of the district attorney's office and prosecuted by the DA's office will now be under my office in family court. And the impact of that, according to the state, will be up to 60 felony additional felonies per year and up to a 140 new misdemeanors per year as well. So that's additional caseload, excuse me, that my office will have to subsume and then take over from the DA's office. In the budget, that's the reason you'll see for the first time that the county attorney's office actually has a revenue. There's a $130,000 state aid line, and that is from the assistance that the state has promised to municipalities to implement the raise the age policy.
That answers why the added $100,000 on the...
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah.
So the regular pay there.
Correct. Okay.
That's the reimbursement?
The $130,000 is the state aid, yeah, and it's tied to raise the age only. Because the state is recognizing that the burden and the impact that new raise the age law is going to have on municipalities.
And that'll probably disappear after
state
a couple
aid?
Years.
Yeah. Well, I won't say anything bad against the state, but if I was a betting man, so to speak, I don't know how long we may see that aid or in what degree we'll see
that.
Bet.
Thank you. Anything else for the... Lynn, go ahead.
Professional services,
mm-hmm.
Could you just give me a sense of, it's gone up pretty steadily, what's in professional services,
professional
kind of projects?
Sure. Professional services is outside counsel primarily.
That was
more of a society. It kind of gets sued dozens of times each year for different things. We have some complex cases going on right now.
It's probably
one of the issues that we may have, and I knock on wood and hope it doesn't turn into too much of an issue, but we have a decision to make on Tech City this year as far as back taxes and tax foreclosure is concerned. If that goes into litigation, that's going to be a very complex, very costly matter for the county to litigate. So there are things like that that are in that line. It's why you see the increase there.
Because I thought I had seen legal fees in other lines for some of the litigation. So
for some of the different departments, like personnel has.
So you don't roll it up
labor,
in one, right?
Not everything. But like a lot of what we'll see is construction cases too, and so we have specific construction law firms that we're not, we're just not apt, we're not
right.
able to handle
There's
it now.
There's different specialties of bankruptcy. My office doesn't do any bankruptcy work. It's a complete specialty. We contract that out. Any type of bankruptcy at all, we don't touch. But we can do the preliminary answer, but other than that, we contract out to a firm. Same thing with construction litigation. That's also become a specialty, especially with the AIA contracts. They're highly technical, they're highly detailed, and unless you have some background in engineering, it's much better. The exposure to the county is less. We're better protected with that outside counsel for those.
So are we seeing an increase in litigation over the last 4 or 5 years?
I would say it would be a combination of perhaps an increase in litigation, but also an increase in costs, too. Hourly rates for attorneys, they go up every year over year. So if you combine the two.
And are the outside attorneys managed by internal counsel?
Yes.
So they're managing their hours worked on a case, etc.
Absolutely. I see every invoice that comes in from outside counsel. I get updates from outside counsel from every case on what's happening, if depositions are needed. Even when our insurance carrier is covering our costs associated with litigation, I still see it. If they're asking for, let's say, an expert witness to be hired, our insurance carrier will make that call, whether it's something we should do or not, but I still have the opportunity to chime in and give my opinion of, yes, that's a valid cause. We can certainly do that.
So is some of the expertise for outside counsel being a part of the insurance coverage or no?
I'm not sure I understand.
Well, you were talking about witnesses, expense for witnesses are covered by insurance companies. Some of these claims are being put through your insurance company. You don't always have to hire an external attorney. You have the insurance company representing. So I'm just trying to understand.
Sure. Our insurance company does cover legal fees.
Are they covering any of the fees that we're paying for specialty attorneys?
It would have to be on a case-by-case basis on what it is.
Okay.
Like, if
I mean, would we pay them, or do we get reimbursed, or...
Like on a,
or are they offering representation for our insurance coverage on particular, if you need a particular level of expertise that you don't have in your department?
Well, for example, like on a bankruptcy matter, we're not covered. That's ours. We're paying that.
Right.
On slip and fall outside the county office building, our insurance company is paying for that law firm.
Okay. And but are you paying them first? Are they reflected here, or that's separate?
That's separate.
Okay.
Legislator Hepner.
Thank you. Just a quick question in terms of the full-time attorneys in your office. A lot of times, you know, for example, last night you had two full-time attorneys in your office that were here for as long as we were here, from 6 o'clock to our informational meeting, through, you know, at least one attorney at a caucus meeting that went to 10 o'clock. You often find they're at subcommittee meetings to our full committee meetings that go after, you know, the obviously standard, you know, business hours. I was just curious, so within your budget, how does their extra time, how does that reflect on, do they reflect on them in terms of the budget? Is it do they accrue like a flex time?
Yeah, we don't pay overtime.
Yeah.
My attorneys, they'll flex their time within the same payroll period. They can accrue comp time, like other management personnel, mm-hmm. to 35 hours and then expend it. But the short answer is we don't pay overtime. It really has no budgetary impact.
Okay, thank you. Hector?
But, I mean, well, it may not have a budgetary impact. It eventually has a service impact. And so, I mean, just to make it clear, you know, we have not requested an attorney be present at our caucus. So, I mean, so I'm guessing, so you've assigned somebody to attend our caucus. Is that my understanding?
Correct.
For the purpose of what, though?
For two purposes. One, for we have the ability to provide any legal advice you may want.
But we haven't requested it, though. We have an attorney.
True, you have legislative counsel.
Yeah. I'm letting you right now, by the way, we are not requesting and we do not require a county attorney to be present at our caucus.
Okay.
Officially on the record, because now we have a recording of it. So, meaning, so if you've assigned somebody, then to what end? So you said that there was a second part. So what's the second part?
Well, if there's anything we can provide assistance for, if something's being discussed and we think there may be a better way to do it, we could provide advice for you to consider and accept or reject. I think that should be...
Sure, but wouldn't you then at that point, though, because we actually do have, you know, I mean, if you needed us to go and record our caucus meetings or to go and... if we had specific questions, normally I'm then at that point the next day, Victoria then at that point has my little laundry list. I then go and actually go back to the departments to actually go and ask any questions the caucus may have. So, meaning, what's the efficacy at that point if we are going to go and ask the various departments anyway, then why is there an attorney sitting in our caucus?
There may be a legal issue that they secure and come back with that we need to investigate.
If there's a legal issue, then at that point we're going to be addressing that with the administration, and we also have a lawyer present.
Sometimes there may be questions, or there's questions that come up in caucus that then aren't ever.
But we just related. Went through, for example, we went through. How long were we here for? John, we were here for what? 2 hours?
Maybe? Last night.
Yeah, last night.
We were here till about 10 o'clock, 10:15.
Okay, so give or take, we required nothing, so therefore that person then, at that point, just gained, you know, 2 hours of comp time or however you're sort of allocating that, which then the county ends up sort of losing because that person then isn't actually then providing service. So while it may not have a direct dollar impact, it has a service impact. And I'm just telling you right now, we do not request nor require a county attorney to be present on our caucus.
I will say that things came up at last night's caucus that then that attorney was able to address with the clerk of the legislature immediately after caucus.
Yeah, but the clerk at that time during regular business hours also follow up on this stuff. So it's not as if somehow we are then losing service, and that service begins to add up over time in terms of lost person hours. So,
well, the ability to do additional work, additional contracts.
Yeah. So,
you know, you name it. It may not have a bottom line impact on what you're paying in salary because you're giving them con time, but it's the time that anywhere from, you know, how many hours per month are they attending meetings? Some meetings that are taped, other meetings that aren't, like the caucus meetings. It is a question.
Yeah, because it's way more efficient to go and actually just put a recorder on
a tape.
Yeah, and then we'll just provide you with the tape. I mean, you know, I've got no problems with that, and our caucus is not going to be, please, we're so loud you can hear it in the next room. So it's not as if somehow we, now mind you, if someone wants to show up because they're just interested, that's fine. They can do that on their own time. But for us to then at that point be sort of losing then that person for X amount of time because they spent their time here, isn't very efficient. And so I will make sure I'll provide a memo to the executive presently to make sure that request or that they know that it's neither requested nor required.
Sure. I don't think that you can say that you lose service, because I know when I was an assistant county attorney, there was times where I had maxed out my comp hours because I was working on cases, not because I was in ever going to a caucus, because I never attended your caucus meetings. But I would just sit on those 35, and then I'd work over those 35 comp hours, and I wouldn't be getting any comp, but I wouldn't flex my hours. I would be doing the same work during the day and other cases at night, and I just ate that extra time.
Which meant you forfeited the comp hours. It'd be
interesting to understand. And that's not acceptable either.
Yeah. It'd be great to know.
It was a choice that I made.
Yeah. Well, it'd be interesting to know how much comp hours are given throughout that office. It seems, I mean, they're here a lot.
Above 35.
Their typical work week.
Well, let's move on from this. Okay. The minority leader has made his feelings clear, and it's up to you guys to work something out with him.
All right. Any other questions?
And I'll make the record clear. I don't think the majority party has a problem with your attorney attending our caucus.
It's nice meeting
you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I don't know. I haven't been to a caucus in like 4 years.
I don't know. Do they attend?
When they have them, they do.
Yes.
It's probably
been 8 years.
I wanted to ask a question for the reference to the transition here. What is the, how far is that running here?
It's not.
To me?
It wasn't funded in 18.
Oh, okay, so it's done, all right. And that's totally done.
Actually, I don't know if you want me to stick around for the Board of Elections.
We have the Board of Elections. Were you going to give a brief overview?
I can or I cannot. I think that they're split on whether they feel it's appropriate for me to do that. I mean,
thought Tom sent an email that somebody was
questioned why. I was
yeah, he said
presenting.
Why, and if he does, no offense, he does not speak for me.
Okay.
There you go.
So I'm happy to answer questions.
That's pretty, that's pretty direct.
Well, let's
they're not here. They've known about it. I get that.
Well, they can't. They're counting ballots, they said, so we could have them another time.
Yeah, let's bring Tom in.
We'll bring him in our regular meeting and ask him if he can show up.
Perfect sense.
Sure. All right.
We give him it only takes a few minutes.
Yes.
Okay. It's out of respect for him. Nothing against you, but it's out of respect for him.
Thank you.
Right. So he puts it in and they said, let's
42 and 104.
Now you're caught up.
Yes.
No, he said Mark Reiner is here saying he will present, we'll be presenting our budget, and then Tom Turco says why, and if he does, no offense, however, he does not speak for me. Thank you. Sent from his phone.
There you go. We're going to.
So, why argue with that?
We're going to move along to the Commissioner of Finance, and he's actually here early.
See, there you go.
3 o'clock.
The early bird gets the worm, but then again, it wants a
worm.
That's
it. That's all right.
Give us a brief overview, and then we could ask questions.
Sure. In terms of ACE, it's a division of finance. Within their budget, there are 4 benefited positions, and there's just 1 contract in terms of the expenses, which is for corporate compliance. We went out for an RFP. It's a big change from 18 to 19. We went out for an RFP, had 2 bids, and Bonadio was awarded the bid, and they were the lower bidder. So that's why there's $36,000 compared to, I think last year was maybe $19,000 or $20,000. That's the biggest difference in terms of ACE's budget. I think I did forward the committee kind of what ACE is responsible for and what they do. It did change from when ACE started in 2013, but 2014, things change all the time. So their role has changed as kind of the county has changed.
So how was it done before ACE?
What was done, what they're doing now is entirely kind of, I will say one thing we're doing now, they spend a lot of time with contracts and vendors, making sure vendors are complying with IRS forms and things like that. I will let you know, I'm being audited by the IRS, so I'm confident with the information that ACE has obtained with those vendors. Also, when it comes to contracts, we're reviewing contracts in terms of the financial aspects of it. We weren't doing that before. It was kind of at the department level, and you know, I trust the departments, but they are finding things when it comes to contracts that we should kind of follow up with on the financial side of things. So that is a big difference there. I will say, in terms of our new financial system, the one thing I'm glad I kind of support the capital projects. I think Lisa gave a summary of the capital project increase. You know, Dave, in terms of how much we've spent on capital project, having that tracked the way it's being tracked is a kind of relief on my end, because when I sign off of anything when it comes to financials, I know it's accurate. It's not like it wasn't accurate before, but I can, when it comes to capital projects, it's a lot of money. So I can definitely verify on those capital projects.
So they're doing finance for Public Works?
No, what they're working with Public Works, they set up the capital behind the scenes, not just the general ledger. There's a tracking of the project itself in terms of what's in contingency, what's in architecture, what designs, and what contracts flow to those numbers. That's all part of the structure of the project behind the general ledger. Because one thing with capital projects, it's a multi-year budget.
So if I were to pull, so in New World, you can pull down one of the capital projects, and behind it, you'll
see project accounting kind of, it's a sub-ledger. Mm-hmm. Behind it, you'll see all the details with regards to the capital project. We also use that project side to track some grants within departments. It helps them when it comes to claims to kind of print out a report, and instead of spreadsheets, trying to get rid of people doing spreadsheets, have the system do it for us.
Can you give some examples of where something that they've caught as a result of now having them review the vendors and work with the
vendors? Well, in terms of having the vendors submit the proper things when it comes to DBAs and things like that, the IRS, you know, I have 1099s I issue. We may have not been issuing the correct 1099s in terms of the box check on the 1099.
Just because they didn't give the appropriate
information, correct. Yeah.
Now, how would this be, some of this stuff, it sounds like it would be repetitious of the comptroller.
Not when it comes to the vendors, because the vendor forms are submitted to ACE directly when it comes to vendors doing business with the county. When it comes to contracts, ACE is kind of in terms of contracts, on what items are within the contracts, we're putting them into the system in terms of the contracts. Then from there, it gets reviewed in terms of the legal and maybe the accounting side on the controllers. I don't know what the controller's office does in terms of reviewing the contracts. But we're reviewing kind of the nuts and bolts, making sure the items are entered into the system
and just the financial overall kind of thing within the contract.
Anything else for the director? Thank you, sir.
No problem.
So, Jay, I think that wraps it up. Am I correct?
Yes.
All right.
That's everybody.
That's everybody but the Board of Elections, and we're going to ask Tom to come in, and the Democratic Commissioner to come in.
This month.
Yeah. Show up on the meeting, the regular meeting next Monday. Right?
We'll get them in first.
I think it will be beneficial because there's the whole thing with like the school districts going on. Yeah. I think there are some things that would be helpful.
Okay. We get an idea anyway.
Yes, of course. Yeah. We only have the privilege of doing this once a year, so take advantage of it.
Okay.
Anyone want to further confuse the issue? That was good. That's what Ken Rod should have said last night.
I'll make a motion to close the meeting.
Yes.
I'll second it.
Yes, I agree. For the record, I go to caucus every month.